Good to see you this morning. We appreciate your presence and being with us. If you have your songbooks handy there, turn them to number 300. That will be the song that Brother Rogers will lead us in at the close of the lesson this morning. If you have your New Testaments with you, you might want to turn to Acts, the 18th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses beginning with verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This passage introduces us to a disciple known as Apollos. He is also known by... Apollos is actually a shortened form of the name Apollonius. And what we are told in this passage is that he was from Alexandria. He was a Jew, but he was from the city of Alexandria in Egypt. That was a city that was founded by Alexander the Great and bears his name. And he intended for that city to be a great center of knowledge. And he built libraries there and brought manuscripts and the books of his day from all different cultures to Alexandria, including a large number of Jewish scholars. In fact, the Greek version of the Old Testament scriptures, known as the Septuagint, which was the version that is often quoted in the Gospels in the New Testament, was done by Jewish scholars that Alexandria brought to the libraries in the city of Alexandria. Thus, that was a great center of knowledge. It was a city like the modern-day Nashville in this country, with university upon universities there, and considered a center of learning. Therefore, you see that reflected in Apollos, that he was well-trained, had that background from his upbringing in Alexandria. There's very little other information that we know about Apollos beyond what is contained in our text and a couple of other mentions of him in Paul's epistles. We know, for instance, from 1 Corinthians and references in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 4, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12, that Apollos did preach at Corinth, and in fact there were many in Corinth that were following him devoutly and had a preference for him above other preachers. We notice from Titus chapter 3 and verse 13 that Apollos evidently intended to visit Paul while Paul was in Rome in prison, because Paul encourages Titus to assist Apollos to that end, to help him on his journey. But in fact, most of what we know about Apollos is contained in the verses that we have just read. Apollos was a mighty preacher of the gospel. And so what we want to do in this lesson is examine this passage to see what there was about Apollos that made him a valuable servant of God, that made him the preacher that he was. And so the basic bulk of the lesson is to talk about who Apollos was, what Apollos was. And beginning in our text, we find in chapter 18 and verse 24 that Apollos was an eloquent and learned man. The Greek word there for learned is the Greek word logios, which is very close to the Greek word logos, which means word. Thayer's lexicon defines that as a learned man of letters, one who is skilled in literature and the arts, especially versed in history and antiquities, and skilled in speech, one who is eloquent. And so all that is contained in that one word, and it's translated in our English Bibles by the phrase, he was an eloquent and learned man. And we would just mention, as we did just a moment ago in the introduction, that that's not surprising, because Apollos was an Alexandrian, and that was something they took great pride in, and it was recognized to be that center of learning. And so this describes who he is. But we're going to talk about some other things that make him a godly, effective preacher. And so we readily admit that secular education is not necessarily essential for one to be a good preacher. But on the other hand, it can be a valuable and useful tool, a background in the world in which you live, and knowledge of the world in which you live, and the ability to speak adequately with the language of your day and your time, to express yourself and to communicate so as to be heard and to be understood. And we'll see that reflected in some of the other things that Luke says about Apollos here in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. But probably the most important thing that is said about Apollos in terms of him being a preacher is that Luke observes that he was mighty in the Scripture. This is essential. There is nothing more damaging to the cause of truth than for a man to teach something that he does not know, and that he himself cannot comprehend and does not understand. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul describes people like that. He says, for some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. That was a problem in Paul's day. It's a problem in our day. People talking about that which they really do not know. That was not Apollos. Luke says he was mighty in the Scripture. And we might ask ourselves, how does one become mighty in the Scripture? And the answer, first of all, to that is that there's no shortcut to becoming mighty in the Scripture. The only way is through study. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a verse we all know, Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who needs not to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The King James Bible says, study to show yourself approved. That's the way we have a knowledge of Scripture. That is the way we become mighty in Scripture, is through the study of Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, Paul says, you, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of them, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from the childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's how you become mighty in the Scripture. You have an appreciation for Scripture. You study the Scripture, and as Solomon observed, that is hard work. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12, it says, "But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is a wearying to the body." Study is hard work. And to become mighty in the Scriptures, you must study. As I was thinking about this, I'm very much impressed with the fact that I'm in my 70s now. But my mind went back to when I was a very young preacher studying at Florida College. Went to hear Brother Helmer Haley, who was one of our major professors, preach. And I've never, I guess, worked hard enough to do this, but if any of you ever heard Brother Haley, he never opened his Bible. He could start at Ephesians 1 and verse 1, and he would read it up here. Just quote it. And I went to hear him at this meeting, as was the case back then. The young preacher boys always followed the professors around and things like that. And we went to hear him preach. And I'll never forget this. At the end of the sermon, a little lady came up to Brother Haley, and she said, "I would give my life to be able to quote the Scriptures the way you do." And he just looked at her very kindly and said, "That's what it's taken. That's what it's taken." It's not easy. It's work. And Apollos was one who was mighty in the Scripture. He was an eloquent and learned man. And there's value to that. But we need to understand that what it is that saves souls is Scripture. It's not the philosophy learned in universities. It's not the wisdom of this world. It's Scripture. It is the Word of God that's active and breathing and applies in the life of every one of us. So yes, he was eloquent and learned, but more than that, he was mighty in Scripture. And then Luke says about him that he was fervent in the Spirit. And that word fervent comes from a Greek word zeon, which means to boil with heat, to be hot. Metaphorically, even in Scripture, it's used of boiling anger, jealousy, or of fervent love or zeal for that which is good or bad, says there. And I don't believe that Luke's reference to Apollos at this point is that he was full of the Holy Spirit yet at this point, because the passage observes that he had yet, while he knew about Jesus, only knew up to the baptism of John. So Apollos was not like Paul or some of the other writers at this time. He may have been after this event, as he is taught the way more perfectly, that we'll talk about in just a minute. But I think this is a reference to his own spirit. The preaching should flow from the heart. The one should be fully committed to it. That when you heard Apollos speak, you knew that he was speaking sincerely with a genuine expression from his heart of what he believed and what he knew. It is an expression of the preacher's deepest conviction. Anybody can be eloquent if they work at it. Some are more gifted than others, granted. But the convicted takes your heart. It takes that commitment in your heart that that is what you really believe, and that is what rules your life, and that is where you see the value and the purpose of what you are saying and in who said it originally. So Apollos was fervent. The fourth thing that is said about him is that he spoke and talked accurately. Acts 18 and verse 25. In the passage we've already read where Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, Paul had already stressed the connection between studying and handling accurately the word of truth. That's why you study and apply yourself to knowing the word of God so that you use it correctly and accurately. And everyone who preaches the gospel should make it their goal to only speak and teach what the Bible truly teaches. Paul made this point in his exhortation to the Corinthians concerning the use of the spiritual gift of tongues, but it's relevant to this point about Apollos. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7, Paul says, "Yet even lifeless things, even either a flute or a harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how shall it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." The importance for distinct, clear, accurate speech that communicates the true meaning of what is intended to be said. An English newspaper man by the name of William Cobbett in the 18th century said in one of his writings, "I speak not only so that I can be understood, but so that I cannot be misunderstood." If you look that quote up on the internet, you will find hundreds of references to that quote. It's quoted in numerous books about effective communication. The 19th century famous English evangelist Charles Spurgeon said he tried to follow Cobbett's advice in his preaching. And I think that what we find here and what Luke has said about Apollos is that that is what characterized him. You couldn't misunderstand him because he was so clear and direct about what it was that he said. The fifth thing that Luke says about him is that he preached boldly. Now, that is not something that's unique to Apollos. If you look at your New Testaments, you find that that is unique to anyone, or should be characteristic of anyone who preaches the gospel. This observation is made early in the history of the church in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And verse 31, it says, "And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness." That's the early saints, the apostles of the New Testament church. "And they began to speak with boldness. We've been studying for well on to a year in this, our Sunday morning Bible class in the book of Romans, and has been stressed over and over again, Paul's thematic statement for that. But hear the boldness as we think about that verse again. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, to the Greek." There is a boldness because we are not ashamed to preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul wanted to be bold, and in fact, he asked other Christians to pray that he would be bold. Listen to what he said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. He said, "Pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We do not need to be apologetic about the message of the gospel of Christ. It is the message from God. It is not a message of our own personal arrogance. It's not of our human wisdom. It's the mind of God revealed to us in His Word, and we should not be ashamed of it. And we should not be ashamed or afraid to speak it as it needs to be spoken. And according to Luke, Apollos also demonstrated this quality. But then we come to one that is probably every bit as important as being mighty in the Scriptures. Because Luke demonstrates that Apollos was a man that even though he was bold in Scripture and he was well versed in Scripture and was willing to speak the Scriptures, he was a man who could accept correction. This is critically important of modern day preachers because all modern preachers are men. We are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. We try to be servants of the Spirit. But He is not putting my words in my mouth this morning. These words have been put by planning and by preparation, by study. And it is just a man who is talking to you. And therefore, it's a man who's subject to making mistakes. Men who are subject to sinning. And in this story in Acts, the 18th chapter, we find a man who commanded the attention of people as he preached Jesus in the synagogue, but he only knew part of the message. And it says that Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. They showed him the information that he did not know. You know, we must recognize that the talent necessary to speak and to teach, particularly publicly, often comes with a corresponding amount of ego. People who are afraid of being in front of other people, who dislike being in front of other people, who are terrified of being in front of other people, generally do not preach and teach. And we need to recognize that with the qualities of personality that cause one to be able to preach comes also the qualities of personality that create a very strong ego in a person. In order to be truly valuable to the cause of Christ, with all the talent and the desire and the capability that you have, preachers need to be like Apollos. Demonstrate the humility and the ability to be shown by the Scriptures things you had not realized or that you have misunderstood. And if we have the heart and character that we ought to, that will cause us to change. That's the kind of a man that Apollos was. And then the final observation that Luke makes about him is that he was able to refute false teachers. Acts 18 and verse 28. Talking about after he had learned and been taught by Aquila and Priscilla and accepted those things the brethren approved and endorsed his work, and he went to Corinth, and there Luke makes the observation that he powerfully refuted the Jews in Corinth who were opposed to the gospel. How did Apollos powerfully refute the Jews? Well, he applied the appropriate method of refuting those are in error, that are in error. He demonstrated from the Scripture, it says, that Jesus was the Christ. It's very easy in the public world and in the work of preaching to forget that that's the message you're supposed to have, and that's the way you win arguments, and that's the way you convince people that do not believe the truth is by the Scripture and powerfully presenting Scripture. We should avoid using the human methods that are often used in argumentation. By the way, those that we've seen demonstrated in politics recently, the misrepresenting what another person believes, abusive speech, name-calling, and it doesn't matter which side of an issue you're on, none of those things prove truth. And when it comes to the most important matter of truth, what is it that God has to say to the hearts of man for the salvation of their soul? The method is the method that Apollos used. Powerfully present the Scripture. Let God's Word take its course. Most of the preaching here and publicly recently has been done by just two of us. One who's old and reaching the end of that. One who's not young by any means, but much younger than me and beginning and developing. But the message of this passage is the same to both of us. And to any Christian, whether they would ever stand in a pulpit, but who will just present the gospel to a co-worker, or to a family member, or to a neighbor. If we are going to attempt to teach the Word of God, we should model our efforts after the inspired criteria set forth by Luke in the book of Acts, in his description of Apollos. And in every congregation, whether it's one or two, there are a few preachers, and there's a lot of members. And so I think the important thing to be said to the members of any congregation is, if you're going to judge the preacher, if you're going to evaluate the preacher, whether he's the preacher that works regularly with you, or whether he's somebody that comes in for a gospel meeting, or whatever, somebody you see when you go visiting as you travel throughout the country, the criteria that should be used to evaluate a preacher of the gospel are the ones Luke has set forth in Acts chapter 18. If you'll get your songbooks out and turn to number 300, this lesson is not a first principles lesson in that it's pointed to those who've never obeyed the gospel. This lesson was really maybe the preacher preaching to the preacher. If you got something else out of that, that's good too. But we're going to sing the song of invitation, and we don't know what's in the heart of anyone here. There are those in the audience who've never obeyed the gospel. Most of us have. But as we've been talking about for years, the challenge of doing that is living it the way it should be lived. And we all have our trials and our troubles with life. And I don't know what's in anyone's heart who might be subject to the gospel this morning. But if you've never obeyed the gospel, we would encourage you to come and confess the name of Christ and be buried with him in baptism before you leave today, so that you can go on with the rest of your life as a child of God. If you're a member of this congregation and there's anything that you need to for your heart and your soul, bring before the congregation. This time is available to you. We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.